Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. First of all, I just want to thank so many people from last week as the Good Friday and Easter Sunday services. There are so many people. I'm not going to mention any names or any particular aspects, but I want to thank so many people who took such great part in making those services possible. Wasn't it great just celebrating those baptisms and reaffirmation of vows? Can I just bring a few things to your attention as before we start our service? Also this morning, particularly to give a very warm welcome to Rhiannon, our new Archdeacon, and to her husband Philip here. Welcome, it's lovely to see you. We hope that you'll be able to stay afterwards and that you'll be able to enjoy lunch together. It's a bring and share lunch. If you haven't bought anything, just come and share, because there'll be plenty, I'm sure. In these next few weeks, can I just remind you that we have started an Enable course. It's not too late to join. It's on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 in the Lantern Room. You'd be welcome to come along and join in with that. There are several people who have already been on the first week. Do find them, have a word with them, and see how exciting it was. And we've already had testimonies back of what God has been doing because people have been on that course. Secondly, Focus. Can we remind you that Focus is open for booking? And if you book before the 5th of May and you've been before, there is a £20 off discount. See Tim or Melissa. They'll be able to give you the code. If you're a newbie, there's an even better discount. So it's all the more reason to come along to Focus this year. But for more information, see Tim, Melissa, or Gail, Lois, others who have been before. We're starting a new Alpha course. Pause Netflix, try Alpha. There are some invitations at the back. If you know anybody that would be interested in coming along, do give them an invitation. There are two styles of invitation for your information at the back. And lastly, to say that we have our quiet day on Thursday the 23rd of May, and for more information, see Colin. Colin, would you just stand up and wave? Thank you.
The first reading this morning is actually in two bits. From the Old Testament, we have Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. And that will lead straight into Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. Excuse me. And I believe this is showing on the screen. Yes. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please do be seated. And as I said earlier, it's a great joy and privilege to be able to welcome Rhiannon here, who has recently joined us from Birmingham. Let's give Rhiannon a huge welcome this morning.
Let's pray. Father God, breathe on us now. Inspire us in the power of your Holy Spirit for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much, Trev, for your welcome. Thank you, everyone else, for your welcome too. It's great to be here. Trev has previously shown me around the church, but it was empty, and it is so much more beautiful with all of you here worshipping together. So I am absolutely delighted to be with you this morning. And I want to start off by talking about train tracks. What I generally know about train tracks is diddly squat. But I have got very inspired by one particular train line. Some of you may have heard of it. I hadn't heard about it for ages. It's called the Semmering Railway. So it's like simmering, but an E instead. And it's in Austria. And this railway was built in the mid-19th century. And thousands of people worked on it. It was 41 kilometres long. And if you can think of all the Alps throughout Austria, it was a pretty incredible feat of civil engineering. Basically, wherever you go, there's a mountain, and you have to get the tracks around the mountain, through the mountain, whatever. Of the 41 kilometres of this train line, 10% of it is tunnels, and 10% of it was viaducts. It is still going today. They've modernised it a bit more recently, but in 1980, they made it one of those UNESCO World Heritage Sites because it is so amazing to have this train track running in this most beautiful place. And of course, it did wonders for the economy as well. But why am I telling you about these train tracks? Well, I'm telling you because there are two particular things about it. One is, it took them 6 years to build this. And when they built it, there didn't exist a train at that point that could actually run on these tracks. They hadn't yet designed a train that could go on these tracks around this amazing route. They built the whole thing in faith that one day they will be able to design a train that could go on it. What amazing faith. The second thing they did that amazed me was, I guess, at the start, when they recruited thousands of people to work on this, I bet most of them thought, no chance. That is just a ridiculous thing to even think of. And yet together, they did it. This morning, I want to tell you about something, a big initiative called Inspiring Ipswich. And in some ways, people might look at it and go, that is just impossible. But it's like our version of the Semmering Railway. We're being called to a big act of faith, to in a way lay some tracks for whatever God is going to do in the future. And God is the boss, and God is the one who's directing the whole thing, and God is the one who will take people on that journey. And what we are doing at the moment is laying down the infrastructure, the track, and having the faith to do just that. So this morning, I want to tell you a lot about Inspiring Ipswich, and I imagine that some of you know a lot, and some of you know a little. I'm going to assume that most of you know a little, but I would love you to remember a lot. So, and I've already seen some people, I've been told one of the Connect groups always brings notebooks and things. I would love you, as I'm talking, to think, how could I give this talk to to my friends and other people from the church and anyone else that's interested in your own words. So just be thinking, how could I tell this story in my own way? Okay, that's the challenge of today. I'm going to start off by telling you some of the headlines about Inspiring Ipswich. We have been given lots of resources, and people have been working on this for 2 years to try and discern what is God calling this town of Ipswich and the churches in Ipswich to be focusing on. And really, there are three main foci. Is that the proper word, foci? And the first is about strengthening our existing churches in every way. And when I say churches, I'm primarily today talking about our Church of England churches, but I'm secretly dreaming that other churches will want to come on board and join in. There are about 58 churches in Ipswich. I know that because I have a big map at home and I've been putting little dots in all the places that the churches are based. And 25 of those are Church of England churches, Anglican churches. So the first thing is we want to strengthen in every way the existing churches that God has blessed us with. The second thing is we would like to double the number of Anglican churches that we have. So from 25, we would love to see 50, or maybe God wants to do more. And we've set ourselves the target of 6 years to do that. And that's the same length of time it took to build the Semmering Railway through the Alps. So 6 years to double the number of churches. Now, the Bishop of Liverpool has a very interesting saying that he uses as he goes around. He says, "In Liverpool Diocese, we have too many churches and we need more." We have too many churches and we need more. And I'd love to talk more about that at another time. But there is something about new churches springing up that brings new people in. And that's part of what we would like to do in Ipswich, to see more and more people enjoy the love of Christ that we get to enjoy. And some of those new churches might be church plants, and some might be fresh expressions just growing around this place, and some it might be a congregation such as yours decides on a Wednesday night you're going to start a new congregation. Who knows? But we would love to see another 25. So that's the second thing. The first was strengthening our existing churches. The second is seeing if we can double the number we have. And the third involves three figures. 1, 5, 10. 1, 5, 10. Can you do that with me? 1, 5, 10. Simple. So there are 150,000 people who live in the Ipswich Deanery. Ish. It's changing all the time. Ish. And of that 150,000, we're praying that 10%, 15,000 people, will have an opportunity to have a meaningful and positive interaction with our churches. We can do that, can't we? 15,000 people over 6 years to have a positive and meaningful interaction with one of our churches in all sorts of different ways. That's the 10%. Then we're praying for 5% of Ipswich Deanery, that's 7,500 people, to actively explore faith sometime over that 6 years. Now remember, we've got 25 churches, we've got 6 years, so you can do the maths. It's quite a lot. And then the 1%, what's that, 1,500? We would love to see 1,500 people choosing to follow Christ and being discipled in our churches. So that's some of the headlines. Double the number of churches we've got, see 10% of people having that positive interaction with our churches, 5% exploring faith, and discipling 1%. Now, God might have other ideas, but we feel that that's what God is calling us as a group of churches in Ipswich to work towards. So those are the headlines. But I don't expect you to remember all of that all the time. And if someone asks you later today, or they might ask you next week or next year, What is inspiring Ipswich about? Because we keep on hearing about it. I hope that bit's true. What is it about? Then I'd just like you to remember one word. You can forget everything else, but one word. And that it's about growth. So if people ask you in the future, what is inspiring Ipswich about? So it's about growing things. It's about growth. And then if they ask you, well, what sort of growth? Then you can really go to town. And you can say almost anything, because Inspiring Ipswich is a big project. We want to grow our horizons. We want to grow our faith. We want to grow in maturity in Christ. We want to grow our leaders. We want to grow younger. We want to grow our prophetic vision. We want to grow numerically. We want to grow in financial strength so we can actually afford to do things. We want to grow more diversely. We want to grow our vocations, our faithfulness, our prayerfulness, our unity, our service to the poor and the marginalized, and so much more. It's all about growing. Many of you will know that in this diocese, for many years now, there's been something called Growing in God. And this is a vision across the whole diocese, and there are many, many churches involved in this. And in that vision, there are four priorities about growth. So if you want to narrow it down a bit, perhaps remember these four. Growing younger, growing in numbers, growing in depth, and growing in impact in our communities. So that means that what we're doing is very much in line with churches around the place. Let me give you some wider context. Many of you will know that the Church of England, so just the bit in England itself, is divided into 42 dioceses, all fairly independent, but also learning lots from each other. And each diocese has chosen to organise itself into lots and lots of deaneries, and each deanery is basically just a group of parish churches like this one. In this diocese, we've got 18 deaneries. Now, not every diocese has got the same, but if we do a bit of maths again, let's assume 18 deaneries, 42 dioceses. That means it's something like 750 deaneries in the country. I don't actually think it's quite that high, because we've got a particular lot of deaneries here, so let's say 650. Well, of those 650 deaneries, only two or three are being focused on with resources and this much prayer and vision and action. One is in Wigan in Liverpool. They're doing some stuff in Taunton in Bath and Wells. And the third, and of course the best, is here in Ipswich. So three projects to do with deaneries out of 650 in the whole Church of England. I've been telling some people, I mean, I'm afraid I've been lying, I've been telling people that this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity for Ipswich. It is a lie, because this is more like a once-in-four-generation opportunity. It is absolutely phenomenal, and probably never to be repeated again, that so much resource is about to be put into our churches in Ipswich to help grow, to grow in all those different ways I said, and many more. It is phenomenal. And what that means is that the eyes of many people in the Church of England, particularly the key decision makers, are on us in Ipswich. Some of them are only just beginning to hear about what's happening here, but people are watching, and they want us to dream big, and they want us to take risks. And they want to learn from us. And they want to learn from the things that go really well over the next 6 years. And equally, they want to learn from the things that don't go well at all. So we have permission to take risks and make mistakes. Because then other deaneries in the future can say, well, we must make sure we don't do that thing that didn't work well in Ipswich. Let's not make that same mistake again. But we have permission by God's grace to try new things. And the bishops are 100% behind this. We've got all sorts of people praying for us. And a bit like those people building the Semmering Railway back in the mid-19th century, together and under God, we can do this. Dream big. Now, we already know a lot. In 2011, the Church of England did this massive survey, and it took a couple of years, and they produced this report in 2013. And the report was called From Anecdote to Evidence. And I have it under my pillow every night because I think it's so important. I don't. But it is very important. This survey was done of hundreds and hundreds of churches throughout the Church of England. And what they discovered was that of the churches that were growing, there were 8 things that they all had in common. And you need to come to my little presentation after lunch if you want to find out what those are. But that means that we know 8 things that help grow churches, many of which you are doing here in St. Augustine's. So we've learned, as the Church of England, we've learned a lot about what helps churches to grow. And over the last 10 years, we've also learned a lot about church planting and about fresh expressions. So here in Ipswich, we're not about reinventing things from scratch, but learning from what God has been doing elsewhere in different towns and cities and dioceses. We're not reinventing the wheel. I think that means that even if we weren't getting any financial investment in Inspiring Ipswich, which we are from the diocese and from the church commissioners, and it's quite substantial, even if we weren't getting this, because of the vision and the support we have, this is a very exciting time to be a Christian in Ipswich. It is a very exciting time to be a Christian here. But why should we do it? Well, that's why I chose some of the Bible passages that we heard read earlier. We have that wonderful passage from Matthew 28, the Great Commission, where we're encouraged to go and make disciples. And that's part of the joy and privilege of being a Christian. It's also a command of Jesus Christ to go and make disciples. So a lot of this Inspiring Ipswich thing is about us going to make disciples. When I make decisions in life, I always find that to be a big thing. If I'm choosing between A and B, which is going to help me be a better disciple of Jesus Christ? Which is going to help me be a better follower of Jesus? And we are wanting all of us to grow in our discipleship, not just new people to become disciples, but for all of us, even if we've been Christians for 50, 60, 70 years, that we can grow as disciples as well. This is something for everyone. That's the first passage, the gospel passage. But we also heard that beautiful passage about how will people hear if they're not told, from Romans. We're Anglicans, most of us, I'm guessing, in some shape or form. And Anglicans are very good at being polite, not wanting to make a fuss, not wanting to be a bother, and kind of hoping that people will hear about the faith through RE teachers at school, etc. But that's not how it happens. It happens because we share our faith. It's infectious and people want to hear. So we just need to encourage one another to go out, to make disciples, to share our faith with all. We also heard in that passage about how beautiful are the feet of those who share good news. And we are called today, friends in St. Augustine's, to have beautiful feet. To share the good news of Jesus Christ. So, what does this all mean for us as individuals and for you as individuals? Well, I don't think it matters if you've been a Christian a long time, or it doesn't matter if you became a Christian yesterday, or it doesn't matter if you are full of doubt. There is a place for all of us, because I think what we're really talking about is a movement of God's Holy Spirit across this town. And because it's a movement, you don't need to wait to be asked to do something, you don't need to wait to be told, just get on with sharing your Christian life with others, living it out. We're in this together, building bridges and viaducts and tunnels. If God calls us, then he will equip us. That's what he does. He will equip us. So be the change that you would like to be. Use the gifts that God has uniquely given to you and follow his call. At a previous meeting of the deanery, one of the things I encouraged people to do was to talk about Jesus as much as we talk about church. We're quite good at talking about church, particularly if we love church. Wouldn't it be amazing if we talked about Jesus just as much as we talked about church? I do think that would bring a revolution in Ipswich on its own. Talk about Jesus. And be encouraged, because people really want to hear. I have a friend who said, the problem with your job, Rhiannon, and what you're going to Ipswich to do, is that a lot of people aren't interested. They're just not interested anymore in Christian faith. But Philip and I, last Sunday, we were visiting this small... It was Sunday afternoon. There was no one there. We were visiting this small little church in a village just outside Ipswich. And we were just looking around, and this young couple came in. And because we were both looking, we chatted and got to talk to them, and I asked the guy why he'd moved to Ipswich, and he asked me, and I told him about Inspiring Ipswich, and I was feeling cheeky, so I said to him, what would it take for you to want to come to a church in Ipswich? I didn't know what he was going to say. And he said, well, not much, really. We'd be really interested. They were in their 20s, weren't they? And I told them to come here. They couldn't make it today, could they? They couldn't make it today, but they could come next week. There are people, perhaps people we're not expecting to be interested, who are interested. Be encouraged. Don't make the decision for people that they're not interested. We'd love you to pray hard as well. This whole thing will only work if we're all praying. If you want to contact us about anything, there's an Inspiring Ipswich email address that we can make available. We're looking for particular gifts, and if you have any of these particular gifts, then we would love to hear from you. But mostly we want you to be doing stuff here and in your workplaces and in your neighbourhoods. But we're looking for all sorts of creative types. We're looking for people who are good on social media and graphic designers and comms people and administrators and people who are artists and sports people and musicians and I could go on. And if you'd like to take part in anything like that or use your gifts more centrally, we would love to hear from you. Do get in contact. And later I'm going to say something about the leaflet about getting to hear news from Inspiring Ipswich. That's all stuff that you could do individually. You can pray, you can use your gifts, you can share your faith. What about you as a church? Well, I mentioned earlier about planting. For the last few years, I've been very involved in planting in Birmingham, not myself directly, but enabling others to plant. And I can tell you it's one of the hardest things I've seen any church do. Really, really hard work, but also one of the most magnificent, amazing things. I have seen people's faith be stretched, and I have seen them be encouraged, and I have seen people see God at work in ways that they have never seen God at work before, like God has gone ahead of them. And we would like every church in Ipswich to be thinking about how can we plant, how can we start new congregations. And if I was to put a number on it for you, I'd be thinking of a church your size. I think you could plant 2, perhaps 3 churches in the next 6 years. I'll just throw that out. It's a challenge. It may be God wants to do lots more. And it may be you want to take some step changes, i.e. big changes. Now, I know you run Alpha in this church, which I think is terrific. I don't know anything more than that. I don't know how many people you get to Alpha, but I want to use this as an example. You might think, yes, let's grow Alpha as our way of helping 7,500 people come to faith. And you might think, I'm just making these figures up, I'm making them up out of nothing. You might have 50 people at the moment who come through Alpha every year in your church. And so you might think, well, let's go for 60 next year, 70 the year after, and 80 the year after that. But a step change wouldn't be doing that. A step change would be saying, we have 50 at the moment. This is something that we feel God has blessed us with. What would it take to have 200 people? What would it take to have 200 people coming to Alpha next year? What would have to change? What would we have to stop doing? What new leaders would we have to raise up? And how could we make sure this doesn't fall on the same old people? Now, if God is not calling you to do a step change with Alpha, then do not touch it with a barge pole. But if God is calling you to make some step changes in your life as a church, then pray and plan. So think about planting, think about step change. And there is so much more to say. But I'm going to come to a close now, because we can't build a spiritual railway on one Sunday. But I would love to continue this conversation after lunch today and just tell you a bit more detail about how we plan to go about some of this stuff. But more importantly than that, I would like to then hear your thoughts and reflections. How do you feel about being part of Inspiring Ipswich? And you are the first church that I have said anything about this to. But there are 24 other churches to go round. So in a way, I'm afraid you are the guinea pigs today. But we would love to hear your feedback. Are we being ambitious enough? What do you think? To finish, there are two practical things that we would love you to do. And again, I'm afraid we're asking you to be guinea pigs. The first is, as you came in, hopefully you had a sheet asking you whether you want to sign up to hear more about Inspiring Ipswich. I think one of the main ways in which we move forward is by helping different churches hear about what other people are doing, what we're learning, and sharing that learning amongst us. So we want to help share that information, and one of the ways we can do that is by having a sort of email thing, an e-news that will go out. We haven't started that yet, but we'd love you to sign up for it so we can send you information. The second thing is, we do need to start doing a bit of measuring and counting. I don't apologise for that, because Jesus was big on measuring and counting. Remember, he's always talking about the 12, or the 70, or the 72, or the 4,000, or the 5,000. And Luke talks about the 3,000 in Acts. So scripture is full of counting. And if we're going to be thinking about 7,500 people here and 15,000 people there, we need to start counting a bit more. And so this morning, I've asked whether you would be happy to fill in a survey. It's not a survey that we've written. It's not perfect. It's a national church survey. And we would like to feed the results back into the national church so they can do that. And also, we would like to give the results of whatever you write today to your PCC and to Trev. But Trev and I will not see any individual surveys. So we hope that you can be as honest as possible. We would love you to fill in as much of them as possible. And I know some of you already started, which is brilliant. We're going to take 5 to 10 minutes to do that now. The musician's going to play as we do some of that, after they've done theirs quickly. And then we'd like to take them back in. And as I said, there are some boxes, if there are bits you don't want to fill in. The children are going to be filling in some as well. They've got their own equivalent. So I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to ask you, put your hand in the air if you need help with a question, if you need a pen, if you haven't got a form, and Trev and Ian and myself will go round and be available to help, and then Trev is going to help take us into the next part of the service. But first of all, let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, please give us your vision to inspire Ipswich, and the faith that we need. Give us tenacity, audacity, and courage as we seek to share good news and make disciples. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We thank you for this promise, Jesus. Amen.
Lord God, thank you that we live in a society where we are free to know Jesus. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted for their faith. We pray that you will draw ever closer to them and comfort them. Give us the courage to speak out for them and give us the words to say. Amen. Lord, thank you for your living word and how it shows us every time we read it who Jesus is. We pray for our brothers and sisters across the world who risk their lives to share, to distribute the Bible around the world. We pray for their safety. We pray that you will guide them about where those Bibles need to be. Thank you, Lord, for all of the opportunities, all of the people, and all of the resources we have here to help us to know Jesus. We think particularly about Freedom in Christ, our Connect groups, the preaching and teaching we have here in church, the Christian Resource Library in Ipswich, and all of the wealth of books, online studies, and apps. We're so blessed. It's so easy for us to get to know you. Help us to make good use of what we have so that we can come to know you better. Amen. Lord Jesus, you told us to care for others. You told us that what we did for the least of your children, we do for you. Help us to show your love more freely, more widely, more generously. We ask that you place on each of our hearts the need to do this, that you will give us listening ears, open mind and obedient hearts. We pray for all of the ways that we do show your love, when we're at work, through the work that we do and to our colleagues, in our homes and our families, in our leisure time, in our daily lives and in our church work. Help us to take you with us everywhere we go. Make all that we say and do a way to show your love to others. Lord Jesus, you commanded us to make disciples. We pray for the opportunities that we have to do this through church. And we particularly think about Alpha, Youth Alpha, Enable, Open the Book, and all of the other opportunities. Help us to support these in prayer and in action. But Lord, help us not to confine our thoughts about making you known just to Sunday and just to church. Lord, we pray for opportunities in every moment of our daily lives to tell people about you. Help us to find the words to share our stories in a natural way at work and at play. Lord, we need to remember that we all have a mission field. Help us to know where ours is. And Lord, we thank you for all of those that you have called to make you known in other parts of the world. Here we pray particularly for Peter and Pat Wyard, but all of those who identify themselves at the moment as missionaries, wherever they are. Bless them with what they need to do your work, whether that be time, people, money, but most of all your Holy Spirit. Make them fruitful in your name and to your glory. And lastly, we praise and we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us with Inspiring Ipswich. We ask for your blessing on everyone involved. Give them wisdom and discernment. For vacant posts now and those coming up, we pray that you will send the right people. Where ideas are needed, we pray for creativity and your inspiration. We are created in your image and we are creative beings. Lord, where practicalities need addressing, we pray for resolutions. And in all of the project, we pray that your most divine will be done. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory.
Amen.
As Trev said earlier, if you are able to join us for lunch, please do. And if you're able to stay a bit longer afterwards, that would be fantastic as well. And if you would like anyone to pray for you this morning or with you, there's a prayer ministry team afterwards. Please make yourself known to them. So we're going to stay standing for our last song now. Hear our cry, O King of Heaven. And now a final blessing. God, who through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has given us the victory, give you joy and peace in your faith, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you now and remain with you this day as always. Amen.
Amen. Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.